You're with Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, indeed. It's Tuesday, the 14th of May, 2024. This is TNT, today's News Talk. I am Rick Munn, and this is Locked and Loaded. We have a lot, and I do mean a lot, to squeeze in news-wise and discussion-wise over the next 2 hours. I'm just going to lay it out here so you know what to expect. In the first hour here, I'm going to be talking with Gemma in just a minute, and then Andrew Eborn is going to be joining me. Then a guy called Rex Patrick, who's an ex-Australian senator, is going to be joining me briefly at 22 to discuss the disgusting outcome of the David McBride case sentencing that's happened today. And then Basil will be joining me at the top of the hour. Second hour, I'm going to be talking with Herman Kelly from Ireland, and then Dr. Rumi Ray from France concerning censorship and various other issues. And although I'm going to go into this in more detail in towards the end of this first hour, I want to give it as much time as I can. David McBride, Australian war crimes whistleblower, jailed for almost 6 years, 8 years after Australia began investigating alleged war crimes in Afghanistan, a whistleblower is the first to be punished. Not the shooters, not the murderers, the person who told the truth. And this is particularly sad for me to read because David was one of the first guests I ever had on Locked and Loaded. And remember, we did a couple of interviews right at the start of TNT. Then he came back and he did a few more, and we've stayed in touch offline. And I'm disgusted, quite frankly, at the way that he's been treated here. 5 years and 8 months for the crime of revealing information about alleged war crimes in Afghanistan. Supporters of David McBride have long expressed his concern that the Australian government was more interested in punishing him for revealing information about war crimes than punishing the alleged perpetrators. This is a dark day for Australian democracy. Amen, says Kieran Pender, the acting legal director of the Melbourne-based Human Rights Law Centre. He said in the same statement, noting McBride's imprisonment would have a grave chilling effect on potential truth tellers. And that's it. That's the bottom line. That's what this is all about. He showed the Australian government and the ADF up for what they were. And now he's paving the way for people to blow the whistle. Or is he? How many people will this frighten into silence? Which is their modus operandi? McBride said, "What I want to be discussed is whether or not I was justified in doing what I did. Not what I did, but whether I was justified in doing what I did." Other comments are coming out here to say, you know what? This is the first, here's a brilliant comment here. This is the first war crime arrest resulting from, quote, joint investigations between the Office of Special Investigator and the Australian Federal Police. A spokesperson said, well, bully for you, bully for you. Ach, the whole thing just makes me want to vomit, to be quite frank with you. And I put a post up about David on my ex feed, for whatever that's worth, from the last time we talked. And the clip was "Truth is a Lonely Warrior." Dealing with stress and feelings of isolation as a whistleblower, coping techniques, and his book, The Nature of Honour. We are not alone. It would do the Australian government well to read that book. It would do those judges well to read that book. It would do those Australian prosecutors well to read his book, The Nature of Honour, because they possess zero honour. Absolutely disgusted. Absolutely disgusted. And the quote that I was looking for here was, this is coming from a spokesperson, "It's a travesty," and I'm finishing on this, "it's a travesty that the first person imprisoned in relation to Australia's war crimes in Afghanistan is not a war criminal, but a whistleblower." 6 years, 5 years, 8 months, some change out of that. He's eligible for parole in 2026. If he behaves himself, he might get out in 2 years and however many months. Let's hope Australia can get behind this. Let's hope we can get lawyers behind this and get him the hell out of that prison. Anyway, there you go. That's the starter for 10. We'll be back in a minute here with Gemma on TNT today.
Be a part of the conversation.
I want representation I can trust.
Have your say.
Biden isn't doing enough.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
You know, I don't know if you followed that or you heard that story this morning, Gemma, but, you know, when you look around you and you see the rats and the scumbags that are walking free, the criminals that are walking free, and then a good man like David McBride, who notably is also a colleague of ours, by the way, on TNT, had a weekend show for a very, very long time. You see him facing 5 years and 8 months behind bars, and you look at the shite that's spewed forth by dickheads left, right, and center on social media platforms, and then you look at that man locked up, it just makes you want to vomit. It makes me want to puke.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And yeah, I was aware of that story this morning. We were discussing it on the Sonia Poulton show, the breakfast show here in the UK on TNT. And much like you, you know, when I first started at this station, David came forward and approached me and said, would you be a guest on my show? And I was absolutely delighted, honoured, you know, to be interviewed in very gentle fashion as well. He's so gently, so softly spoken, and he's got a very wonderful manner about him. And yeah, I did go on his show, and it was a wonderful introduction to what the station was all about, you know, standing up against the system. Well, the system's made an example of him, and you're quite right. It's to silence people into submission. You know, this is what they want. They, you know, you come up against us, you come up against the military industrial complex, which we pay for with our taxes, of course. Let's not forget that fact. You come up against it, you question it, we'll throw the book at you and we'll bang you up. It's absolutely abhorrent. It shows the inversion of the world that we're in, where good men stand up and get punished for it, and good people stand up and get punished for it. And we saw that over the last 4 years, you know, people standing up against the jab mandates, getting punished, being fired, pilots, nurses, doctors, you know, it's just, this is our world. It's a disgrace. I'm of the opinion we should mount a TNT campaign to get our colleague out of jail, which is where he now is. Obviously, they're appealing the sentence, his lawyers and his team. But even so, he's 60 years old and he's banged up now. I mean, it's for standing up for what he believed in. Big message from the system to the rest of us, isn't it? Don't come up against us.
You know, AC/DC, the great Australian rock band, the classic rock band, had a song called TNT, which when I first heard about the station, that's what attracted me to it. What was it? It was just the name TNT Radio. I thought I'll have some of that. But they also have a very famous song called Jailbreak. So maybe, metaphorically speaking, we can bust David out of jail, metaphorically speaking, not physically, obviously, but we can try and do, I don't know. I don't know what can be done. And here's the thing, just thinking about this, we do talk about how progress is being made. We talk about how the cracks are appearing. We talk about this, we talk about that. All the leaks that we've seen, all the revelations that we've seen, all the skullduggery and shenanigans that has been verified as true and is out there in the public domain, how many people, how many politicians have been arrested? How many big pharma people have been arrested? How many ex-premiers have been arrested? How many of them have even been to court, let alone went to prison? Think about that. Just for 1 second. And then that's what I believe is the yardstick for figuring out whether or not we're moving forward or not. Yeah, people are talking a lot on the internet. We're talking a lot on the radio. We're talking this and we're talking that. But who of their ilk has been banged up or even arrested or even charged? And then you have somebody like David McBride, on the other hand, who's now facing at least 2 odd years in prison, minimum 5 years and 8 months maximum. Yeah, we're winning anyway. On that happy note, I'm just being real. Give me a list, live chat, stick me the names in the live chat of who's been arrested for war crimes, politicians, big pharma people, anybody at all. Just give me one name, one. I challenge you. Anyway, breaking news, Gemma, let's get on with things. What have we got on the cards this morning?
Well, the Northern Ireland First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, she's now currently giving evidence to the UK COVID inquiry. It's in Northern Ireland at the moment. She was the Deputy First Minister during the scamdemic, and she's facing a lot of claims that she broke the rules by attending the funeral of the senior IRA figure, Bobby Storey, the Sinn Féin's chair. That was in March 2021. Another example, as you just rightly illustrated, of politicians telling us to do one thing and then all brazenly going off and doing another. I can't think of one politician or public advisor or television television presenter in the UK, high profile people that haven't broken the rules over, didn't break the, you know, they did what they were telling us to do. So she'll be, she's facing a grilling as we speak. She entered the inquiry just over an hour ago. China has come out against the appearance of the three men in court yesterday, charged with spying for Hong Kong. Here in the UK, China says the allegations are baseless. The Chinese embassy officials in London have today said it's unfounded accusations and it's absolutely furious. It's by ramping up this anti-China rhetoric. And just in the last half an hour, a judge in the UK has ruled that a sentence handed down to a paranoid schizophrenic who stabbed three people to death and attempted to kill three more was not indefinite, not unduly lenient. Valdo Calcone was given an indefinite hospital sentence instead of being sent to prison. He's likely to remain there for the rest of his life. The sentence was sent to the High Court for an appeal. Families felt it was much too lenient, but just in the last hour, senior judges have disagreed and says it was the right sentence to be handed to Calcone. So that's where we are with the UK justice system, Rick.
Oh yeah, wonderful stuff. Wonderful to hear that. So basically this dude, schizophrenic, stabs people. So he's been given an indefinite hospital sentence. You know, just because people have mental health issues, many of them are not being sent to mental health institutions. Many of them are going into the general prison population. So this indefinite hospital sentence, as you rightly say, it could mean the guy never sees the light of day again, which let's hope he doesn't, because what if he decides to stop taking his meds someday and he's released and he decides, you know, he's going to go out with a knife and he's going to repeat that. Who knows? And by the way, it's a mental health condition. Somebody that's got schizophrenia, I'm not knocking that, but what I'm saying is, where's the help? Where's the monitor? Where's the actual justice in all of this one here? He may get out again or he may not. That's a little bit vague, given that people have been stabbed and, you know, lives have been endangered and carnage has ensued. So it would be nice to have some closure for that. But then again, Gemma, if he had got a prison sentence, what, 20 years, 25 years, he'd have been eligible for parole in 12 and a half. So he could be back out on the streets again after he serves his time. I tell you what, you don't know who's walking those streets or who's being let in. There's another story here. I can't go into it, but the Irish government are admitted they're not doing mental health screening on all the people flooding into the country at the minute. So they could be anybody with severe mental health issues. And many of them are, from what I can see. If you defecate in the streets or you're running up spitting at people or sitting on people's cars buck naked in daylight, there's probably something amiss upstairs that you need help and support for, or you need to be segregated away from the general population. So this case in particular with this dude, I don't know. Will he stay in for the whole of his sentence, or will they get too overcrowded there and just simply release the inmates or the patients back into the public again? I don't know. Hell's bells. What a time to be alive, eh?
Well, indeed. And that's the rephrasing of the sentencing was it was likely he would stay in hospital for the rest of his life. Likely, not definite. You know, it wasn't a committal forever. It wasn't, it was a likely that he would remain in hospital. And of course, he was known to police before he carried out the stabbings. This is a fact that the police are highly embarrassed about. His mental health was deteriorating. He had been arrested previously to the stabbing three people and attempting to kill three more. He was known. He was known to have mental health problems, but they didn't take it seriously enough. And that's what led to this. So has justice been done? The families say no. The families at the time and many campaigners at the time said no, prison, you know, maximum security prison, but no hospital and no details as to the security type of hospital. Obviously, it will be a mental health facility, a unit. But yeah, has justice been done? Obviously, if your relative or friends or, you know, the people that died, no, you would think not, I think.
Yeah, so there's that. The Sinn Féin NI COVID inquiry, Michelle O'Neill's statements, we'll dig into that one a little bit more detail in the second hour. There's also been changes in Northern Ireland's Rwanda situation. Of course, Northern Ireland is supposed to be part of the United Kingdom for some people, but now apparently the Rwanda Act doesn't apply to Northern Ireland. People's human rights could be breached. A judge yesterday ruled and we should be treated the same as the Republic of Ireland, which some people are thinking, oh, it's wonderful. We want United Ireland. Yeah, that's fine. But that means that the problems that you're complaining about happening in the south of Ireland are now going to be the problems that are going to be happening in the north with the influx of illegal men into the country that we cannot sustain. Smart, that one's like turkeys voting for bloody Christmas, and you wonder why we're in this fucking mess that we're in at the minute. People are lacking up here, Gemma. They're lacking. But anyway, what the hell do I know? I'm just an angry little man with a chip on each shoulder. So anyway, thank you very much for your input this morning. I'm pissed off. I'm not going to lie. That David McBride thing's really pissed me right off. I feel like, well, I can't travel to Australia because I've got no passport. They probably wouldn't let me in anywhere. But I feel like going in and kicking the bloody doors of that prison, not down, but kicking them and saying, what is that? What is that? But anyway, maybe I will. Maybe I'll get myself a passport and I'll go and do it. Maybe I will. Anyway, sorry for that, Gemma. You have to sit, you sort of clench your teeth during these little tirades of mine, but it's all good. Love you very much. And we'll talk again in the next hour of that, I have no doubt. That's Gemma Cooper. I'm Rick Munn. And Andrew Eborn is about to join me here on Locked and Loaded. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
TNT's Chris Smith.
If you thought that devious governments were out to silence our views, we're out to blind our eyes from the video truth, you'd be dead right. But what's been happening parallel to the censorship, especially in places like Australia, the UK, and the United States, has been the disintegration of press freedom. Reporters Without Borders has released its annual report. And for countries like the United States, UK, and Australia, press freedoms are being further eroded, just gradually, but surely. And journalists themselves are being threatened more than ever to toe the line. And didn't we see that during COVID-19?
Chris Smith on today's News Talk, TNT. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, you better believe it. It's Tuesday, the 14th of May, 2024. This is Locked and Loaded. I'm Rick Munn. Always nice to have some new blood coursing through the veins and arteries of Locked and Loaded. Very happy to be talking to for the first time this morning to Andrew Eborn. Andrew is the president of Octopus TV, and I could make a pun about he's got his tentacles everywhere, but I'm not going to do that. He's also a lawyer, he's a broadcaster, a futurist, and a speaker. Andrew, good morning and welcome to Locked and Loaded. How the hell are you?
I am incredibly well, Rick. It's a delight to join you this morning, this afternoon, this evening, all around the globe, because I know people are watching you in every corner of this glorious planet.
They are, my friend. Every nook and cranny, even under some rocks, we've got some cockroaches watching us at the minute. But we welcome everybody. We don't turn anybody away here at TNT. And speaking of cockroaches, let's start by talking about Rishi Sunak. Rishi is on a tour at the minute. I think he's trying to rebrand himself. He's semi-prophet of doom, semi-savior of the world. I think he fancies himself as a cross between Mad Max and Martin Luther King, but he's neither of those. What do you think about what he's been spewing over the last few days?
I think that one of the great things he said is about embracing technology. And he warned about it yesterday in his speech. He said, look, this is one of our greatest achievements, but also potentially our biggest existential threat. And I talk around the world, Rick, as a futurist, to the futurist, because I know you love your puns. And we look at that. We basically look at the seismic advances in technology, in artificial intelligence, and so on and so forth. And what they've done, they've looked at there's this drug at the moment about how you can all lose weight. That's what they're saying in the UK newspapers. Wegovy, it's called, or Ozempic, which sounds like the entrance for a Eurovision Song Contest, doesn't it? But that's the idea. And they're saying that the new research is basically about 40% of cancers are caused or directly related to obesity. But this wonder drug can basically help not just deal with cancer, but also about things like blood pressure and so on and so forth. So this is being touted around. And what Rishi has done in his speech, he says, well, hang about, this has helped tremendously with a particular company that basically came up with this drug. And we should be looking at very, very similar things here in the UK about embracing technology. And you might remember last year at Bletchley Park, we had the very first ever AI safety summit. And people from around the world, including Elon Musk, came and joined us right here to discuss that. So he's right to shine a spotlight on the UK as far as AI is concerned. And his own personal brand, well, he needs some wins. It was only a few months ago he talked about the five promises that he's going to do, not least, obviously, stopping the boats, which has been the bane of virtually every newspaper and his reporting ever since he got into power. But he's starting to make some sort of headway on that. We've had the Rwanda Act, the Safety Act, as it's called. And it was Abraham Lincoln, you will recall very well. I know it's very often that you quote him on your wonderful show. But Abraham Lincoln, he used to say, basically, if you count the tail of a dog as a leg, how many legs does a dog have? Well, the answer is still four, because just because you call it a tail doesn't make it a leg. Well, the Rwanda safety bill did exactly that. It said Rwanda's a safe country, even though it may not be. And so the issues there need to be addressed and so on and so forth. But in terms of Rishi's own side, he's right, as I say, to embrace technology and to basically trumpet the UK on that sort of platform. So he's right, at least on that side.
Here's the thing, right? Here's where we might disagree here in love, okay? Without going to fisticuffs here. I get that technology is zooming ahead. I get that it's streamlining everything. I get that it's making things easier and simpler and faster and more convenient for us. I get all that. But I can't help but hanker back to the good old days. In my mind, nostalgia is a powerful thing. And I'm thinking, okay, before mobile phones, or before the internet, or before GPS, I don't know if you can remember the Ordnance Survey. They used to publish big maps. And when you wanted to get around, you had to buy an Ordnance Survey map. And I can remember, Andrew, getting out of my car in an unknown place, spreading my map over the bonnet of my car and attempting to navigate around with that. Was it difficult? Yes. Was it a pain in the ass? Yes. But have the gains we have made, okay, and this isn't the thrust of this conversation, but I get where you're coming from, all right? I get all that. But I don't know, when I look around at the way the world is going at the minute, connectivity isn't necessarily a win. Are we actually connecting with people, or are we just making connections? Okay, there's a big difference. If you and I sat and had a cup of coffee, I guarantee you the connection would be powerful. But to connect like this for 10 minutes over Zoom, is it really a connection? Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I totally get what you're saying. And I always say that the more devices that we have and the more wonderful smart devices that we have, the less smart we are as human beings. I think our ability to communicate with fellow human beings, you only have to go to restaurants now, Rick, and see what people are doing. And every 5 seconds, they're checking their phone. They've got to make sure they get that social media hit and so on and so forth. And it's the same with advances in AI. People are worried now that they can do the first draft of essays on ChatGPT and other platforms. And the short answer is they can. What tends to happen, though, is you then either you use it or you lose it. So people don't know how to think, and they don't know about calculating. When I was growing up, probably when you were growing up as well, we used to sit in the classroom and do our times table. Do you remember that? And people had to sort of learn it off by rote. Nowadays, you've got a calculator that can do all of that for you. The difficulty is that education needs to advance at the same sort of pace. So we need to do different ways of testing people. So on the education front, what I'm always an advocate about, and various political parties have taken my idea, is talk about oracy. You should teach children basically how to be able to speak, to stand up in front of a crowd and to explain things. So ChatGPT might do your very first draft, but you need to be able to explain it and to deal with questions and come on glorious shows like yours and talk about things. I think those sort of communication skills are things that we should be emphasizing. But I always say that artificial intelligence is basically there as a co-pilot, and that's the way to understand the technology and basically make sure that you embrace that, but without falling victim of it, because otherwise that's the way that redundancy follows.
I've yet to see, right, and I'm being a little bit provocative here with you, but I've yet to see a Hollywood movie yet where AI in the future has ever ended well for humans when artificial intelligence got the run of things. And I'm saying that to make light of what's going on, because listen, people are very set in their ways, my way, your way, somebody could sit in between. And there's so much falling out happening about people that disagree. And I don't give a damn anymore. I've realized that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. So all you can do is put your point across. I have my views, you have your views, and people can draw their own conclusions from it. And just before we take a little headline break here, I can't give the source of this quote, but it was to do with telephones. You mentioned telephones, and it's not Abraham Lincoln. He didn't say this. But somebody said, when our phones were attached to the wall with a cord, then we were free. When the cord was severed and then we became, you know, mobile, then we became enslaved by those same devices. And they are, to an extent, digital prisons. You painted the picture of the restaurants, the mothers, the fathers,
BlackBerry, used to be called CrackBerry, you might remember when it first came out, those wonderful little phones. People are addicted, and there's wonderful devices and mechanisms that the phone companies do to keep us addicted, not least those little three dots that keep swirling or little words come up like typing. I mean, somebody's going to send you a message. So you're always hooked. Very, very clever.
Very clever indeed. Very clever indeed. We're going to take a little headline break right now, Andrew, just for 30 seconds. When we come back at the other side, let's look at the state of play in general for Britain, because obviously Rishi's painting a very rosy picture, talking about GDP is up and the NHS waiting lists are at the lowest levels they've been for quite some time, given that they were astronomically high to begin with. That's not really a boast per se. Let's look at the spin that's going on in and around the Tories at the minute as Rishi tries to save his little ass at the next general election. We'll do that when we come back here on TNT.
We're ready.
News
is our business, and we never close, never close.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has warned the world is edging closer to a nuclear escalation. US Secretary of State Antony Blinken's turned up in Ukraine, touching down in Kyiv on a surprise unannounced trip on Tuesday. And there are reports out of Washington that the latest US assessment on the war in Gaza is that Israel has amassed enough troops to launch a full-scale invasion of Rafah.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction.
Misinformation from the truth.
From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Yes, it is indeed, and I'm happy to be talking this morning live, uncensored, unscripted, and all that jazz with the one and only Andrew Eborn. Andrew, I'm looking at some propaganda that's been spewed forth by some government ministers, one of which, Victoria Atkins, is telling us that 6 months of progress has been made on the NHS waiting list and a key cancer target has been hit. NHS in England is delivering. Let's stick with the plan. And the figures that she was referring to was overall NHS waiting lists have decreased by around 200,000 since last September. This is the biggest six-month fall in over 10 years outside the pandemic, thanks to the hard work of NHS England, who are providing patients with care that is faster, simpler, and fair. Interesting analogy to make. If you run yourself into 2 million quid's worth of debt today, and then you say, well, I paid 50 grand off my credit card bill next month. That sounds like a lot, but you've got to put everything into perspective. 200,000 people off the waiting list in September, given that they're in the 6-7 pushing up towards 8 million. It's hardly something to boast about, is it?
Well, it's always interesting. You're absolutely right. Lies, damn lies and statistics. And there's always the one way that you can guarantee you can make someone a millionaire is to make sure they start off as a multimillionaire. So you're right. It's all about comparative. And we've had all sorts of things, all sorts of strikes here in the UK about doctors not receiving fair wages. And it is. There are certain things that we need to make sure that that's looked at. But in addition to that, it's about efficiencies. And I go back to my pet subject, you'd like, about artificial intelligence. And there was a research done by in the University of California, San Diego, that said that chatting to ChatGPT was more empathetic and more accurate than chatting to your GP because it's got more time, it's got more research and so on and so forth, and it can listen to the people. So we need to embrace technology. It's not just about money. It's turning around and saying, look, How can we make the whole process more efficient? Make sure that people do get seen and do get to talk to somebody when they need to talk to somebody, and make sure that we can basically speed up that whole sort of process.
It is. I'm laughing here when I'm thinking about ChatGPT being more empathetic than GPs and how this could be the future for medicine. I say this. Forget about ChatGPT. Before ChatGPT came along, were we not already effectively becoming our own physicians? Because let's say you get sick today. I've got a terrible pain in my right side and I'm feeling a little bit dizzy. What do? You go into Google, dizzy, pain in right side, and it'll probably bring up what's wrong with you pretty accurately. Then you go, if you can manage to get a GP, and the last few times I've been to one, thank God it hasn't been for quite some time, they sit you down and they say, what's the problem? And you'll say, well, I'm dizzy and I've got a pain on my right side. And then they'll inevitably say, what do you think it is? And then you'll tell them and they'll probably agree with you, because if they don't know, they'll go in and they'll have a look at it as well. So it's a really odd setup. But yeah, isn't it a sad state of affairs, Andre? It's a sad state of affairs.
I think what's happened, Rick, is that everybody now has become an expert. And what happened, whether we had lockdown, everybody become a virologist, if you like, when there were constitutional issues, everybody was an expert on the constitution. And all we're looking for is evidence to pander to our own prejudices. So we go in that eternal cycle, if you like. We surround ourselves with media that just gives an opinion that aligns with our own. We have friends on social media who just repeat and keep regurgitating the same inaccurate statements. And all of that is doing is confirming our prejudices. What I always try and emphasize is that we should be questioning everything. We should keep an open mind, because the short answer is there are lots of things that are being discovered all of the time. We have various things about the vaccines at the moment, where all of a sudden people are talking about there being blood clots. Well, people have been talking about that for a little while, so we need to drill down into that and make sure that that's listened to. But the reality is this: I'm not a doctor, you're not a doctor. We can turn around and have our opinion and describe the symptoms. But if you presuppose all sorts of things, you're going to go down that particular route to lead to that conclusion. So I always urge everybody, it's like getting news sources. Try and get your news sources from as many different places as possible.
Yeah.
And what I love about TNT is we always shine more light and less heat on a subject. Well, a bit of heat is always good occasionally. Mm-hmm. But we try and listen to all those different voices and say, look, actually, we may not have all the answers, but people out there will have an opinion, but they'll be informed opinions. And as long as we can get the evidence to back up certain opinions, then we can analyze those and try and reach a sort of educated decision as to what is the right thing to do in any particular situation.
Is right. And, you know, that's something that we advocate. I try and advocate here, you know, question everything. Don't take my word for anything that's said on here, even though you might like me and you've been listening for a while. Don't just take it for granted that I'm actually telling the truth. Go and research what I say. And the same can be applied for you and anybody else that comes on to any of these shows, either as a guest or a presenter. Last thing here, people, common sense is something that's being put forward as a revolutionary thing now, or statement of the obvious. So just as we're wrapping this one up here, again, this woman, Victoria Atkins, a Member of Parliament for Louth and Horncastle, Health and Social Care Secretary, she makes a statement: everyone who needs a dentist should be able to get one. And I'm sure around the country, there's many people giving Victoria a standing ovation for that. Why? It's common sense. Of course, if you need a dentist, you should be able to get one. But the bottom line is, you can't if you need one in certain areas. So her plan will deliver 2.5 million extra dental appointments. There's a £20,000 golden handshake to be paid out for dentists to work in areas where, quote, recruitment is difficult, unquote. In other words, areas that nobody else wants to operate in because there's no money in it. The government are going to try and incentivize dentists to go in there, but 20 grand won't go a long way. Probably a good dentist would make that in about 2 weeks. Is that really going to incentivize him to go into some hellhole and start pulling teeth?
Well, the tooth hold tooth and nothing but the tooth. You're absolutely right. We need to look at that sort of basis. You need to work out what is the reason that there aren't enough dentists, and 20 grand may or may not cut it for a lot of people. That's an awful lot of money. What you need to look at, I think most people in those sort of professions, it's vocational. The reason they do it, the primary reason I would hope that most people do it, is not for the money, but because they want to make a difference. And without emphasizing that too much, I think that's a real thing. We need to look at Why aren't there not enough dentists at the moment? It is absolutely right that we need to make sure that everybody's looked after. And I think the political parties now are all sort of merging into focus on the policies as opposed to necessarily the differences. The left party doesn't need to say everything contrary to the right party. You can turn around and say, look, what is a fundamental point? And health for all has got to be a fundamental point. So I would look a bit further than just the money side. Look at why dentists need to be in certain places and that sort of stuff. But common sense, and my good friend Esther McVeigh is the minister for common sense. I used to do a regular show with her every week. Where basically we did Andrew Eborn's greatest writs and look at the various legal cases around the world. And she talks about that sort of stuff, that the one thing that's missing, the thing about common sense, is not as common. And I think we need to reintroduce it.
I think we do. And also, if we can bring this full circle, one of the first things you mentioned was Ozempic, okay, fat loss drug. How about exercise? How about cutting down on the McDonald's? How about prevention is better than cure? And here we are having a conversation about paying dentists 20 grand to go into certain areas and freeing up 2.5 million. How about teeth brushing? How about investing in a good old toothbrush and a tube of Colgate and brushing your teeth twice a day and cutting back on the sugary foods? Again, that's common sense, isn't it? But we're always hearing about the solution to a problem rather than the prevention of said problem when we really need to shape ourselves.
We're too reliable, Rick, on experts. We always have to, we sort of derogate sort of responsibility to a third party and say, well, look, it's their fault, they haven't done it. You're right. Responsibility starts with us and our family and the community and so on and so forth. And just on Ozempic, for example, okay, what it does, it suppresses your hunger, might have other benefits as well. But as soon as you stop it, your hunger's going to come back again. And as soon as that happens, if you haven't changed your lifestyle, I presume you're going to put all your weight back on. So you're right. And then you need to look at the fundamental cause and deal with that.
And anybody that goes down the shortcut fat loss route usually sees good results in the short term, but usually they gain everything back and then some. It would be better actually to just stay as a fatty than become a fatty to a skinny and become super obese. Make your own decisions on that one, but walk a little more, eat a little bit less, and don't be so stressed out with life. Andrew, it's been an absolute blast talking to you this morning.
It's been a real joy. I look forward to joining you again very, very soon.
Listen, it's been a pleasure. Follow Andrew on X, if you use that platform, at Andrew Eborn, E-B-O-R-N, or check out the website, octopus.tv. So whatever you're going to do now, I hope you have a great day. We've got to take a little break now and welcome Basil Valentine on here. But yeah, stay tuned for more madness here on Locked and Loaded TNT. We'll be right back.
When a crisis hits, close to home and across the globe, nonprofits are on the front lines, ready to serve.
Keep coming.
The demand for charitable services has skyrocketed, and nonprofits are rising to meet the needs. Healing. Nurturing. Rescuing. Honoring. Protecting. Caring. Inspiring. The work of philanthropic organizations of all sizes, across all missions, has never been more important. And it's donors and volunteers like you who make all this possible. Thank you. Together, we change the world. The Nonprofit Alliance.
Food isn't just fuel to live, it's fuel to grow. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America network of food banks helps millions of people put food on the table. When people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger, and together we can open endless possibilities for people to thrive. Visit feedingamerica.org/act now.
Informative and engaging.
Rick Munn
on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, TNT, Locked and Loaded. I am Rick Munn, and I'm actually happy to be joined up until the top of the hour by Basil Valentine. We were to speak with Rex Patrick this morning. I believe we're going to try and connect, or try and connect in the second hour. Whatever will happen will happen. But in the meantime, Basil, welcome back to the show. The David McBride thing, you know, I can't really think about too much else this morning, despite the fact that there's other things going on in the world. A real kick in the teeth for him, given that he's been through the ringer over the last few years thinking about this. Will he, won't he go to prison? Now he's been sentenced to 5 years and 8 months for the horrendous, horrific crime of exposing Australian war crimes. What kind of state of affairs is this?
Well, indeed, Rick, people in the gallery shouting shame on you at the judge as he left the bench. He has a support dog, McBride, who was right by his side, and he hugged his friends and family before being led off to custody. He's maintained always that the information he leaked about Australian war crimes in Afghanistan had ultimately exposed wrongdoing. So parallels there with Julian Assange, Rick.
You know what, Basil, I'm just going to say how I feel. I don't know if anyone out there is listening. It doesn't matter to me what your belief is, what your faith is, whether you believe in God or not. But I'm telling you now, if you do believe and if you have a faith in God, say a prayer for David McBride today, because that guy has been through the absolute ringer, and for him to be led off into custody today. And you mentioned that dog. I even said to my wife this morning, I remember talking to him over 2 years ago. He got that dog to help him cope with stuff, right? And he got fit again. He became very physically fit. He got back into boxing. He and I talked a lot about mental health, maintenance of mental health. And that dog was key to his mental health. And I tell you what, aside from going and doing time in that prison, that separation from that dog, that support dog, that's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. I tell you, Basil, I'm furious this morning with the outcome of that. So many ways and on so many levels. But that guy needs your prayers, because it's going to be a tight beginning to his sentence, and he needs all the prayer support or physical support or mental and emotional support that he can get. So give it to him. That's my appeal to the listeners of TNT.
Indeed, and he pleaded guilty in the end. Addressing friends and supporters ahead of the sentencing, he said, and I quote, "I did not break my oath to the people of Australia and the soldiers that keep us safe." And friends and relatives of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange were in attendance, as well as fellow whistleblower Jeff Morris.
Are we not seeing, is this not just, it's a different set of circumstances, but is this not just a carbon copy of effectively what has happened to Assange? Although Assange has never been tried, he's never been before a court, but yet he spent 5 years plus now in Belmarsh, and before that, of course, in the Ecuadorian embassy. And some of the comments on this story, Basil, were that they weren't interested so much in what McBride revealed. They were trying to punish him and send a message out to other people that would blow the whistle. So on one hand, we have government departments that are encouraging whistleblowers, say, if you see something unjust, if you see something wrong, if you see something corrupt, come ahead, you'll be anonymous, blow the whistle. That's what this guy did. And now he's doing 5 years and 8 months, worst case scenario, in a prison, 2 years and a bit, if he's behaving himself. That's going to be 2026, Basil, before he gets back out, if he's a good lad in prison.
Indeed, and he's already 60 years old, so no spring chicken. As a legal officer, of course, he did 2 tours of duty in Afghanistan in 2011 and 2013. And it was during the latter one with Australian Special Forces that he began to form the impression that a line had been crossed by commanders over the next few years while suffering from undiagnosed post-traumatic stress disorder. That's when he began his abuse of drugs and alcohol, and he became more and more convinced that he needed to speak up. Now, I mean, I think it's worth also mentioning at this point the number of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans that have suffered from PTSD without any form of intervention or help, the hundreds, if not thousands, particularly of US forces that have committed suicide, Rick, because of what they saw, what they were asked to do, the lack of any accountability. Those of us in comfortable West here can only imagine the horrors these people went through, and for what? To achieve absolutely nothing in the end. That's the appalling thing about it. Likewise, David McBride, he did not cause anybody any harm by what he revealed. And it seems that the judicial system has lost the connection between the causings of real world harm and people simply disclosing information about corrupt governments. The two are completely different. You can go out and kill somebody, Rick, and get less than 5 years. with a plea bargain and the right lawyers. It's absolutely outrageous.
It is. And also, Basil, when you think about some of the cases that we do come across, you know, reporting on the UK and Ireland, you hear about people that have been done for child pornography, thousands of filthy images of children getting suspended sentences or rapping the knuckles from a judge, you know, for effectively perpetrating the abuse of children. And then you have a man like this who simply tells the truth and he's facing that time in jail. It is sickening and it is disgusting. But hey, it is what it is. And hopefully this won't be the end of it, because we have to keep the fight going for David. We're going to take a very brief break just right now. We'll be right back in just a second on TNT Today's News Talk.
Military families often sacrifice precious time away from loved ones while serving our country. And for those with children, the separation can be especially difficult.
We were worried that with him leaving, that she would lose those connections with her dad.
Some of life's best moments happen between parents, children, and the pages of a good book. United Through Reading provides that connection.
You can watch your mom or dad read a book to you, and it almost feels like they're really there.
We ensure they remain a consistent, meaningful part of their children's lives, no matter the distance.
Just seeing Jacob recognize Daddy again after a long time just melted my heart.
And now, as we're facing greater isolation from our loved ones, United Through Reading is also available to veterans. Learn more about United Through Reading and download our free secure app at unitedthroughreading.org.
Rick Mon is locked and loaded on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Fine. Okay, just following on from that, obviously, Basil, a lot of other things that are happening, and I'm hoping that this won't be the end of the McBride business. I'm hoping some kind of appeal will be launched and some kind of campaign will be launched to get him the hell out of that prison as he started to serve his custodial sentence. But we'll see what happens. It's just breaking here today, so we'll see what way this one actually pans out. So let's pivot to something else. What have you got for us on the old breaking news frontier today?
John Woodcock now calls himself Lord Walney. Extraordinary how these people are reinvented by a title, eh, Rick? Only 45 years old, the former MP is now the government's terrorism czar, and he's decided that Just Stop Oil and Palestine Action need to be included or redescribed as dangerous radicals, prioritising foreign genocidal identity over the will of the British people. A 100,000-word report set to be published later this week will recommend a ban on protesters wearing masks during marches and various other restrictions on our civil liberties. Perhaps this is part of the change that Rishi Sunak was talking about. He will urge the government to introduce a stringent ban on what are called extreme protest groups. Militant groups like Palestine Action and Just Stop Oil are using criminal tactics to create mayhem and hold the public and workers to ransom without fear of consequences. A spokesperson for Palestine Action told GB News, John Woodcock is not qualified to be an independent advisor on this topic. He is the former chair of Labour Friends of Israel, the current chair of the Defence Purpose Coalition, and still receives funding from the Israel lobby. If ever implemented, the recommendations will only increase support for our campaign against genocide. Very interesting, this one, Rick. We've seen it coming down the line for a long way. With regard to the Just Stop Oil protesters, people blocking cars on ordinary roads, preventing people going about their lawful business, I've got a sympathy with those who want their removal. I feel very differently about other cases. And in general, I'm not in favour of any more government powers to restrict our right to protest, or very dangerously, the redesignation of civil society groups as somehow terrorist. One man's extremist is someone else's freedom fighter, as you know well, Rick.
Indeed, indeed. And isn't it ironic, Basil, that a few years ago, if you had been out in public without a face mask on and a group of people, you could have been actually held up for that. Now they're telling you if you do wear one. So it's this inversion thing. This perpetual inversion is going on. It's almost like, you know, an egg timer. You know, you turn it upside down, the sand runs down. And then when the top half becomes empty, you turn it back again. The sand runs down the other side. I'm just seeing a big egg timer when I look at society these days, Basil, because once the story pivots this way, somebody just turns the egg timer upside down and the sand runs back to the other side. So that's effectively what you're seeing even here with public masking, amongst other things, just flipped and inverted as would be expected.
Yes, exactly. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. You still see some people, all over Europe wearing masks, Rick. Every time I see it, I think to myself, my God, that brainwashing was strong, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of people, obviously, anyone still wearing a mask to prevent COVID at this point must be psychologically damaged in some way.
Completely. Completely. And speaking of psychologically damaged, Rishi Sunak has laid out his UK food security plan to withstand climate and war. So the PM will set out his plans today to improve food security and cut reliance on imports from other countries. As you know, yesterday we had a farmer on the show, and even with John Waters, I was talking with John Waters from Ireland here. We ended up talking about the state of farming in Ireland at the minute. Crops are devastated. The weather has washed them out. The chap that was on yesterday, Mark Byford, he told me he had seeded out three different sets of crops this year to try and salvage some kind of a harvest. And here we have Sunak talking about food security when the farmers are saying it's becoming increasingly insecure.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's no immediate danger of us running out of food here in the UK, but it does strike me as rather dubious where the government's priorities are. We're confirming that we're going to build six new warships for the Royal Marines, okay? Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, health spending is £5 billion less than the government planned. And as you say, farmers are struggling and could no doubt do with some extra assistance. Are we now moving to some kind of war economy, Rick? Will we be asked to dig for Britain in order to be able to afford these completely unnecessary ships, which are incidentally sitting ducks? Technology has long moved past the warship era. A destroyer or frigate can be taken out from thousands of miles away. So I'm not quite sure what these ships for the Marines are supposed to be achieving. Billions of pounds, much better spent on improving the life of Britons, if you ask me. And I mean, if we want ships for the Marines, shouldn't they be defending our coastline, Rick? Where are these ships going to go? They're certainly not going to be going up and down the channel.
It's maybe to ferry people across the channel. You know, instead of dinghies, they're getting a brand new Navy warship to take them from A to B. That's effectively, when you think about it, the Royal Navy is supposed to protect Britain's coasts, but it's acting as a water taxi service, the same as the French Navy and the same as the so-called Border Force patrols. They're effectively just picking migrants up at the halfway point, doing a handover takeover with the French and just ferrying them across to England and the RNLI too. I might add, they're supposed to save anybody that's in distress or peril at sea, irrespective of their, well, you know, their circumstances. I get that, but they're effectively becoming increasingly used as a glorified water taxi service as well. And just staying with that Sunak business, this is what he said. This is a key quote from him. This package of support that he intends to deliver will help farmers produce more British food. Listen, if the weather's bad, it doesn't matter what support you're going to give them. They ain't going to produce more food. You need the sun, and you need a certain amount of climate influence, none of which Sunak can provide. He said it will deliver on our long-term plan to invest in our rural communities. And again, he wants to get farmers out of the game. He's incentivizing them to quit and sow wildflowers and plant trees where there should be crops growing. So what long-term plan is he talking about? It's not talking about food sustainability. He's talking about, creating thickets and, you know, woodland groves here. That doesn't feed people.
Yes, contrary messages coming out, really. We've got rewilding on the one hand, which in some parts of the country would be a good idea, because nature is in crisis. Another report has come out today talking about the severe drop in the number of flying insects and birds and things across the UK. So, okay, we've got that on the one hand. On the other hand, of course, things like, you know, people say 5G and all the electromagnetism around these days doesn't help microorganisms, and then likewise small mammals, all of which are in desperate decline. Yes, we need to produce more food, and we need to do so perhaps using less land. But how is that going to work if he's trying to drive farmers off the land? Very mixed messages from Downing Street, as usual.
Yeah, mixed messages from Downing Street. It's a really bizarre, I don't know about you, but this feels like a really weird start to this week. There's so much weird stuff going on here. And, you know, you think you're making a little bit of headway. And I asked the question, you know, Basil, at the start of the show, you know, we're hearing about AstraZeneca. It's been withdrawn from the market. We know about government corruption. We know about these premiers in Australia that did this, this, and this. But where's the arrests? Instead, we're having to spend our time talking about David McBride going to prison for 2 years and 8 months, or maybe 5 years and 8 months. What about, how good would it be for a change to talk about a politician that's been locked up and discussed their jail time? But we haven't done that yet. We haven't had the privilege of doing that yet. But let's keep our fingers and toes crossed that maybe that's something we'll accomplish or be able to report on by the end of this calendar year. Basil, thank you so much for all your input here this morning, as always. We will talk again tomorrow morning. I've got a break now for some news. I'll be back at the other side with more guests and discussion on Locked and Loaded TNT. Don't go away. We'll be right back.